This is The Rich Eisen Show.
What was it called?
The Rich Eisen Show with guest host Kirk Morrison.
It's your boy.
Live from The Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
I saw the Jerry Jones comments earlier in the week. No urgency. If I'm a player, and I know Jerry Jones has had to walk these comments back, but how important am I to you?
Today's guests, senior NFL writer for The Athletic, Kevin Fishbane, Big Three commissioner, Clyde Drexler, Dolphins running back, Raheem Mostert, and now, sitting in for Rich, it's Kirk Morrison.
Hut! Hut! Hi! Blitz! Where go? 52's the mic! 52's the mic! Welcome in this Friday edition of the Rich Eisen Show. That's right, Kirk Morrison here, filling in for Rich, man. As always, got the guys with me, Brockman, Del Tufo, yo, TJ, yo. Great to be with you on a Friday. We made it.
It's Friday.
We made it. We got to Friday. It's been a crazy week here in Los Angeles. We've had, for people out there watching, listening, it's been a week. Kids started school. We had an earthquake.
Two earthquakes.
Could have been three earthquakes here in Los Angeles. The Intuit Dome opened up last night, the new Clippers Arena. A little snafu with the tickets. So it's just been a crazy all-around week
here.
Yeah,
I saw that everyone was waiting outside and stuff.
Yeah, but it looked nice. You know, we'll get into that, too. These new arenas and new places to watch your sporting events. It's all great. But we made it to Friday. More importantly, we made it to a football weekend. And I'm trying to explain to people that we're going to have football every weekend. It started last weekend, but it really carries over. You really understand it in week two. Because you realize football, college, professional, there will be a football event every weekend all the way until Valentine's Day. President's Day weekend,
Let's
baby.
There go. You go.
Yes, I can't.
Let's go. We made it.
Y'all don't understand. Like I'm one of those people who I you love these. I watch football. I really do. Because there's so much to learn from. Even if you're just watching an old game. You know, you ever turn the channel and they got one of those classics on?
All the time.
And you know the result. I think me and you were talking about this, Brockman.
Doesn't matter.
We know the result. We know how it ends. But, man, it sure does look amazing watching it over again,
well,
right?
Because you're like, oh, I know what's coming now. He's about to throw it. Like,
it's the lead up.
Oh, it's great.
You forget about how you got to a certain point in a game, how the touchdown or the missed extra point earlier in that half or the missed tackle, how would it come haunt that team a little bit later on?
I saw some graphic the other day, and it was the Patrick Mahomes when he had – like 1,000 yards of offense, Texas Tech. It was the Texas Tech Oklahoma game that went to triple overtime.
Yeah.
It was Mahomes versus Baker Mayfield. I remember exactly where I was that day, where I watched it, who I watched it with.
Yeah.
That game was incredible. It was like, what was it, like 58-54 or something?
I just knew that the defensive coordinator should have been fired the next day because there was
that basically
there
got
was
Cliff
no
Kingsbury
defense.
A head coaching job.
There was no defense being played. But yeah,
awesome.
It got Cliff Kingsbury a job. Everybody got a job. Baker Mayfield goes on to win the Heisman. It was just one of those times in which I love sitting back and watching games.
Mahomes and Baker Mayfield had 1,300 passing yards.
It was insane. It was sick. Like the game was drunk. But I love watching these types of games, the throwbacks. I also like watching the live events. And I also like the standalone preseason games. See, I am of maybe the minority when it comes to this. I am of the minority because I look at the preseason with a different eye, a different lens. Because I truly understand the war of attrition of an NFL season. I never played a 17-game season, but I played in a 16-game season over 17 weeks. There's going to be bumps, bruises. Guys are going to miss games. Guys are going to miss time. And I've been on rosters when I was in the National Football League where I saw the last guy on the depth chart in the preseason is starting a game for you in week 16, and you're trying to win a playoff game or trying to get to the playoffs, I should say. I understand about that. So I watch and look at some of the names and players who may be on the bubble of a roster, who maybe already solidified a roster spot or positioning. Is he going to be the first team or second team? So I watch preseason football a little bit different. Now, this weekend will be difficult, and I'll get to that a little bit later on in the second hour about my top five things I can't wait to talk about and I'll be looking for in preseason week number two. But when it comes to last night, I got a chance to watch one game. There was only one preseason game on last night, Eagles-Patriots. And so, obviously, yesterday we talked about some of the storylines going into it. Fresh off the Matthew Judon trade, the Patriots trade Judon to the Falcons, and you know, a long time or a player who was with the franchise, who was a key contributor, is no longer there. How are they going to go out and play defense without him? And you've got a quarterback situation with a young rookie and Drake May and Jacoby Brissett's there, new head coach, you know, no more Bill Belichick. So many storylines.
So many.
And Brockman, you know it already. You understand. You bleed the Patriot colors.
Locked.
But last night, I will say this, and this is where I have to, sometimes as an analyst, I have to catch myself. I have to stop. Yeah, I like that. You got to stop sometimes because it is such a week-to-week league, right? Mm-hmm. When I say week-to-week league is that sometimes you change your opinion. Sometime for me by the series, maybe by the quarter, by the half.
Definitely by the
right?
half.
I've seen a guy go from trash in one series to a Hall of Famer by the end of the game because of his performance.
Half an hour difference.
But
it's crazy.
There's always questions after you watch something. And my big question going into last night's Eagles and Patriots game is, like, what can you find out? What will tonight show you? What will this game tell you? Well, it is a preseason game, but let's be honest. When it comes to 2024, the preseason, the thing that we look at the most is what? The quarterbacks.
Yep.
The new quarterbacks, the young quarterbacks, the class of 2024. Like they're graduates or something, right? Like it's these new graduate quarterbacks who are entering the National Football League. So you want to see, where is Drake May? Where is he at in this process? Where is he at on his football journey? But before we got to Drake May, here's Jacoby Brissett. And Jacoby Brissett goes out there. And I'll be honest with you, Jacoby Brissett was 3 of 7, 17 yards. And I said, oh, but it's okay. It's okay. He's just a bridge quarterback. But for the first time, I was very unimpressed with Jacoby Brissett. I mean, unimpressed. And then he threw an interception. Whoa. A bad interception. Like something that you don't do in that situation. And I just said, I shrugged it off. And I was like, you know what? It's a bad play. It's preseason week number two, everybody. It's going to be okay. Until I saw Drake May. I saw Drake May last night. And guess what? They finally took the handcuffs off a little bit. They actually allowed the young man to go play football. They didn't give him the seven-play scripted of we hand the ball off and here's a naked bootleg to the right and the open fullback's going to be there. They allowed Drake May to actually play football. And for the first time since he's been drafted, I saw something. I saw it. I said, you know what? This kid's probably going to be okay. It may not be right away, but it's probably going to be okay. I saw the confidence. I saw the swagger. I saw a guy who was in command. I saw enough for the Patriots and their fan base to feel like they've probably have a shot. Now, look, you can say, hey, y'all said this about Mac Jones a couple years ago when he came into the league, and we all crowned Mac Jones the next coming. Oh, we found the quarterback after Tom Brady. But what I am saying is that this dude, Drake May, is different than these quarterbacks, I think, of the post-Brady era. What I saw last night from Drake May, especially in his touchdown run, things that I could never say before about a Patriots quarterback. Almost to the point where I would have never thought going into the preseason that there was a competition at quarterback. This was Jacoby Brissett's job, everybody. This is his job. He's got this until Drake May comes along. But then all of a sudden, you watch, you know, Drake May go 6 of 11, find a way on a little read option to go into the end zone near the goal line. And I'm saying, wait. We may not be that far off. And I've said this before. Is Drake May the backup? Or are you really, truly trying to put him in a situation where you want him to develop? Because I'll tell you this. If Jacoby Brissett is your starter, he gets hurt. Drake May goes in. Drake May's not coming out. He is now the quarterback of the New England Patriots. But it has put the head coach Gerard Mayo, first year head coach Gerard Mayo, in a precarious situation now. Because I saw it. You saw it. We all saw it.
Let me tell you what I saw last night, Kirk. Okay?
We all saw it.
Let me tell you what I saw.
Tell me. What did you see?
I saw the future. And I saw, you know what else I saw, TJ? I know you can't see it. You're, I mean, your eyes have gone bad. I saw the 7th Super Bowl trophy. I saw the 8th. And I'm not talking about this year or even next year. I saw it. Eventually, it's coming. Drake May will win a Super Bowl with the Patriots. Woo. He will get his jersey retired, and he will get that gold jacket someday. Drake May is him. Drake May can do it all. And Drake May is the next great Patriots quarterback. Book it.
Okay, make sure we tape that, right? We tape that, right? That's on the books.
Yeah,
that's locked in on the books.
Once he puts it in the microphone. In
yeah,
front
we're
of
good
the
to go.
Because you all know it, and that's why you're deflecting with jokes.
I'm not deflecting.
Because you know it. That throw to Javon Baker yesterday.
Oh my
God, it was so pretty.
Man. That was the prettiest incompletion I've ever seen.
Ever seen in my life.
Like, I can't even.
Also, by the
way, can't believe I'm going to say
in
that.
In the old days, that was a catch.
In the old days, that probably was a catch. But I've never seen a more prettier incompletion. It was almost to a point, we just obviously assumed that it was a completion.
We're celebrating incompletions.
We're celebrating incompletions.
Hey, TJ, when they're that pretty, you celebrate.
I'm not going to lie to you.
It doesn't matter what the result was.
I jumped out of my seat. Even the you heard the fans. You heard them. They were like,
I scared the dog. It was so pretty. I jumped out of the couch.
But now the scarier part now
in the
is.
Preseason though, right?
That's this preseason. But still, you saw it. But Gerard Mayo, the head coach now, Gerard is seeing it now. And he had this to say after the game, because guess what, people? In Foxborough,
Drake,
we got a competition.
Drake.
Do you see this as being a competition between the two of them right now as to who's going to be, you know, the starting quarterback against Cincinnati?
I do. You know, we have 3 more days of training camp practices, and it's our job as coaches to evaluate, and the competition isn't over. They're still going to go out there, and they have to show not only their, you know, themselves and the coaches, but also their teammates. So it's definitely still a competition.
It's still a competition. So I got to go to my resident Patriots fan because I like
to. There's only one here.
I know there's only one here, but I want to go back to Mac Jones' rookie year. You remember that one?
He was great.
But you remember in the preseason,
the Pro Bowl.
It was Cam Newton's team. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
And we didn't know it was a competition, but it was a competition. And at some point, when did we, like, we knew the competition was over when they did what?
They released Cam Newton. Everyone was like, what?
Right before.
Like, whoa, what just happened?
I think we all forget that that competition ended when this just in. Cam Newton has been released by the paper. We're like,
excuse me?
Well, we know who the starter is now in New England. It's Mac Jones. And to a point where, did we think that Mac Jones was ready, or Bill Belichick felt that he was ready, or knew that there was going to be some bumps along the road, but hey, this guy gives us the best option. I would have never thought that. I would have never seen that. And I would have said the same thing right now currently with these Patriots. Jacoby Brissett is the best option for the Patriots until last night. And maybe we could say it was just one bad game. But to me, the bigger thought process in this was me watching the game with my analytical hat.
You got one of those?
I got one of those. Because I had a coach used to always say, Kirk, remember the hat that you're wearing at the time. kind of a metaphor for life, too, by the way. It's like, remember the hat that you wear? When you come home, you got to put your dad hat on, right?
True that.
You walk out the door, you got to put your work hat on. And when I'm at home, when I'm quiet and I'm alone, I turn on my little NFL Premium Plus package, boom. I turn on my analytical hat. And when I watch the game over, because, yes, I did, I watched the preseason game all the way over again.
Oh, man.
But what I saw in watching Drake May was that they were able to call plays for him in a part of the field that you could not do for Jacoby Brissett. This may be the most athletic quarterback in the Patriots' history of their franchise.
Really?
I'll say it again.
With all due respect to Doug Flutie.
Doug Flutie or Drake May? let's be real. Doug Flutie is great, no, by the way. But let's be honest, though. Drake May has an athleticism that you have to utilize his ability to put pressure on the defense. I know it's just preseason game number two, but I saw that pressure. I saw what it did to a hungry, aggressive Eagles defense. That they were able to put Drake May in a situation that allows him to just use your feet, read option, have options, and the ability to take off and go. That interception thrown by Jacoby Brissett was one, and because Jacoby's not going to take off. That's not his ability. He doesn't have that. So he's going to stare down and try to go through progressions, and instead of throwing the ball away, he throws an interception, where Drake May has that ability to get out of the pocket, to move the pocket.
Right.
And then, look, if everything's all covered, hey, I'll do it myself. Run into the end zone with this nice little flip.
And that's why before the draft, Drake May was getting loose Justin Herbert, Josh Allen comps.
He showed that last night. Now, it was on display. And to me, looking at or listening to that sound right there from Jerod Mayo, the head coach, I agree that it has to be a competition a little bit more now, because I saw enough to where they're going to have a meeting right before the season starts. I've never been in one of these meetings, but I can only imagine. And I will call a couple people over to the weekend to figure out what's being said in that final meeting when you get to that final cutdown day. And it said, hey, look, we got Jacoby, who's been in it, who's been a starter in this league. He's done a great job. But at some point, Drake may have to play.
He has to play.
And are we stunting his growth by sitting him? Is he truly learning the game? Or is it to what we've seen before from Peyton Manning, who led the league in interceptions, I believe, his rookie year?
Yep.
It's trial by fire. Just throw him in there. Let's just go.
Yeah, remember
this is a defensive team anyway.
Remember I did a top five yesterday, guys?
Yes.
And the number one was, I want to see lots and lots of Jacoby Brissett. Well, I was wrong. I take it all back. I don't need to see any more Jacoby Brissett. Just start the kid week one.
That's it.
You have said for the last couple weeks you don't want to see Drake May.
I don't. I want him to learn and develop. But
you saw last night what we all saw.
Come on,
like, whoa.
Man. I saw the fire in my eyes last night. Like, let's go. There's light at the end of the tunnel.
It's just how it is.
Kirk, I mean, I understand the idea of wanting to sit a quarterback and have him learn. But
I'm super overreacting, by the way.
It's really hard to learn when you're just listening or watching someone else give you the lesson. Like, for me to learn, I have to get in there and put my hands in something and, like, kind of be in the mix.
Right.
So I would assume, Chris, like, you want that, right? He can't get better sitting on the sideline. He's only going to get better being
out there on the
field.
And the thing is, Kirk, and you know this, I know we have to get to break, but during the season, you're prepping for the next week. So he's not going to get that many reps if he's the backup. They're all going to go to the starter and whoever's QB1.
Yeah, that's true.
And the only way to ensure that he's going to get those reps is to just name him QB1 and let's get on with it.
And just let everybody know.
Let it ride. This is our guy. This is the future. The future is now.
When you pick a quarterback third overall, at some point,
he's not sitting very long.
He's not going to sit. He's going to play at some point. Who knows when? But see, in Chicago, they didn't have to worry about that. When you draft Caleb Williams number one, guess what? Before you even put the turn to pick in, he was the first round. He was the pick of the Bears once the season of 2023 ended. And so it's funny to say that it's different for Drake May. Drake May, we don't know if he's ready yet.
May or may not be starting.
But Caleb Williams, he will be starting. And I can't wait to see him in preseason week number two. But he had a little joint practice. Let's get caught up on Bears camp, the team that's a part of Hard Knocks. Kevin Fishbane, who writes for The Athletic, covers the Bears. I can't wait to hear what he's got to say, what's going on in Bears country. Coming up next here on The Rich Eisen Show.
Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people. You love their jingle? You're going to love their friendly, helpful service even better because they're in the business of keeping your car on the road. And the parts knowledge they have, it's all you need for your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll find you just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fixed, or quick service? They'll help you there and find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. So stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/EISEN. O'Reilly Auto Parts.
The Rich Eisen Show is sponsored by Grainger. Does this sound familiar? You're a maintenance specialist and you've been squaring off with a leaky radiator at your facility for hours. You're both drenched in sweat. You've thrown the whole playbook at it, but so far it's got an answer for everything. What you need is a teammate. A pro who's seen it all before, and that's Grainger. With support specialists always ready to chat, the product you need, plus a million more, just give this ringer a ring. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by one of their local branches.
I did not approve this, but, you know, that's part of me delegating to you, our social media grandmaster. You put out on Instagram a photograph. It says Breaking Bears Trading for Russell Wilson. And what's today's date?
It is April 1st, Rich.
And that is what? It is April Fool's Day. So it's 5 minutes to air, and I have my phone's on the desk, and it's buzzing. And
yeah.
And I see it is, you know, it's Jeff Garland. Is the caller there? Is the caller there on the Rich Eisen?
Jeff from Chicago.
What's funny about it? Nothing's funny about it. Nothing is funny about it. Our friend Doug Robinson texts me.
Yes.
Capital Russell Wilson. He says, you know, Rich doesn't usually get the scoops. Adam Schefter should be on this. Well, that shouldn't have made me suspicious.
Yeah.
But no, I have so much respect for the Rich Eisen Show that I know that they have connections that nobody else has.
That's true.
Well, you know what, Rich? I'm not going to swear, but I got to tell you, your little social media boy, he's going to get his. Oh, my God.
TJ, do you have anything to say to Jeff Garland?
Yeah. Happy April Fool's Day.
All right. Hey, TJ, you don't know what you've brought down on yourself. You don't even have a clue.
I'm
you
ready
know
for
the
it.
Power that I have, especially in practical jokes. I'm going to nail you so hard.
Pause.
You know what? I hope you enjoy your testicles right now because they're going to disappear.
No, but I need them.
Oh, my God.
Indeed. Welcome back to the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. As I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Chicago Bears are in the news because they're the team on Hard Knocks. They drafted a quarterback, one overall, and there is just so much excitement in the Windy City, and the guy who is going to help us talk a little bit and understand more about what's going on with the Chicago Bears, Kevin Fishbane. He's the NFL writer, covers the Bears for The Athletic. You can follow him on Twitter X at @KFishbane. And Kevin, I want to start here because they did have the joint practices between the Bears and the Bengals, but it was a wet one. It was raining the whole entire time. Did they actually even get some good work? And hopefully it wasn't enough so that we can actually see Caleb Williams in a preseason game instead of just saying, oh, he got enough work during the joint practice.
No, Kirk, they actually did get enough work. And I can tell you that because us reporters in the bleachers with our umbrellas and raincoats kept looking at the clock, at the scoreboard, being like, another 12-minute session's about to start. It's still raining. Eberflus and Zach Taylor, that they wanted to keep rolling. And so Caleb Williams did get a lot of reps yesterday against the Bengals. What's interesting was his first competitive rep, 7-on-7, his first pass picked off by the Bengals middle linebacker. Mm. So you're thinking, okay, this is a bit of an introduction to this is not, you know, playing against your own defense, which is a very good defense. It's given him a lot of trouble in camp. But he started to get in the groove a little bit. And when they had some red zone drills, he had a really nice touchdown pass to Keenan Allen, stayed in the pocket, went through his progressions, found DJ Moore for another score. So I thought it was a positive day for him and just a great experience. You know, Matt Eberflus said that Cincinnati runs a unique defense. And for Caleb Williams to get those reps and then he's going to get some more, obviously, tomorrow. It's just all building this up, building this portfolio. Just kind of every day is a reminder, you know, you're not in Lincoln Riley's scheme anymore. You're not at USC anymore. It's not, you know, University of Idaho on the other side. You know, this is going to be challenging. And he's passed a lot of tests so far this summer.
Yeah, Kevin, I want to talk about his leadership skills, though, because I feel like everybody was saying that he wasn't the greatest of leader. He's a different type of leader, but all that I've seen, and maybe just a couple of the episodes of Hard Knocks, but just listening to guys like yourself and watching and seeing on the television, he seems to be a leader that's still learning how to, but I think his play is backing it up that guys want to lead, and they're showing him how to with some of those veterans that you mentioned who were able to catch a couple touchdowns from him yesterday.
Yeah, Kirk, you know this so well that when a rookie gets into a locker room, you know, there's a lot of different ways you could do it the wrong way.
Right.
And Caleb Williams just seems, he's just natural. He's not, you know, there was the story about him telling guys to clean up, but that story was presented as a complimentary story. Like Kevin Byard, when he told that, was like very impressed that Caleb Williams was doing that. Somebody needed to kind of get on the guys for making sure the areas that they were using were clean. And he was the one who did it. So I think kind of the best compliment that he's been getting when you talk to different teammates is he's natural. He's comfortable in his own skin. He's not, you know, the moment and everything's not too big for him. He's just kind of assimilated really nicely into this locker room. As you said, you've got Keenan Allen, you've got 40-year-old Mercedes Lewis, you know, you've got DJ Moore, you've got these guys on defense, and Caleb Williams is just kind of one of the guys. And you talk to everybody, players, coaches, and yeah, you certainly aren't hearing anything about some of those kind of quote unquote reports that came out of USC that I think we've all learned were, just maybe a couple people. Because look, Caleb is different. Yeah. Like, this is a guy who's been engineered to be in this position since she was a child. He's the first NIL superstar. You know, he's obviously different than some of the quarterbacks we're used to. So I think a lot of, you know, when you see things that anonymous scouts say, well, these are scouts who have been in doing this for 20, 30 years. They've never come across somebody like him. And right. People are afraid of different. And I think the Bears have embraced it. And you've realized that, like, his quote unquote different is just being one of the guys, which everybody in the building seems to like.
He covers the Bears for The Athletic. He's Kevin Fishbane, joining the Rich Eisen Show. Kirk Morrison here filling in for Rich. So, Kevin, I would ask you, who or what kind of coach is Matt Eberflus? Because I feel like we are seeing him again for the first time. I know he's been a coach in this league before as a coordinator and been the head coach the last couple of years in Chicago, but I feel like we're getting reintroduced to him. Maybe it's because of the new hairstyle, the new beard, whatever it may be. But who is Matt Eberflus as a coach, and what does he bring to this ball club in terms of his style, his culture, his philosophy?
Yeah, Eberflus is unique because he is a football guy. You know, he's in kind of an old school football guy, old school linebacker, but he still is embraces analytics. He embraces the quarterback head coach relationship. You've seen that in some of the scenes from Hard Knocks. He's in the quarterback room all the time, even though he's kind of the defensive guru. I think that he really hit his stride last year when he took over defensive play calling. Now, it was obviously not for good reason. It wasn't the ideal situation. There was a lot of drama with the Bears last year that led to that moment. But you saw, okay, he's comfortable, he's confident, the players buy into him. Look, he's got some, you know, like a lot of coaches, he's got his little metaphors, his acronyms, his different things that are a little unique. But it doesn't necessarily, you know, lead to a lot of eye rolls from players and coaches. I think that they respect him. And, you know, you're right, though, Kirk. I mean, this was somebody that, shoot, like, I don't even remember if I had heard of him before right. The Bears started that coaching search a few years ago. Mm-hmm. You know, he's somebody who was in the college ranks for a long time. Then he had the defensive coordinator stint for Indianapolis. And just, but he has come in, and you know, this is a big year for him, obviously. And I don't, I'm not calling it make or break, because I think the Bears are very comfortable with their leadership situation and do not want to go into that cycle they've been in so many times over and over again, where head coach, GM, quarterback just aren't aligned. But I do think it's important for him that he's got all, he's got the quarterback, he's got all these weapons on offense, he's got his defense, for this team to make a playoff push.
You know, Kevin, you've been at training camp, so you see the fans, the reactions. What is like the fan buzz right now when it comes to this football team and the real life expectations? I mean, last year didn't make the playoffs, year before that didn't as well, but now you have Caleb Williams. We're expecting him to do what? Take this team to the playoffs. They want to see the CJ Stroud effect that we saw in Houston, but what is the real life expectation that these fans are putting on this football team right now?
Yeah, I like to make the distinction, Kirk, between excitement and optimism. Like, everyone is incredibly excited about this team and where this team will go. I think that even the fans, even the most diehard, you know, over-the-top fans understand he is a rookie. And it's going to take time. And you, I'm glad you mentioned C.J. Stroud, because I think C.J. Stroud changed the conversation, because you see what CJ did last year and you think, okay, if CJ Stroud can do it with that team, why can't Caleb Williams do it with this team? And he might, and you could argue that he should. But it's not like CJ Stroud was playing the Super Bowl last year or even the AFC Conference Championship. I think that getting to the playoffs thing would be a great step for the Bears. Being in the conversation, being over 500, I think is fine. A lot of this I still think is building up into 2025. You know, I know Bears fans have been patient for way too long and they want to see results right away. But, you know, look, it's really hard for any rookie quarterback to make that kind of deep playoff run. And Caleb does have a unique situation, but I do think so. Like, there has never been more excitement about this team right now, because they have a celebrity at quarterback. I mean, they really do. And Caleb Williams, and you mentioned Hard Knocks, you mentioned kind of the star power they have, they haven't had for a long time. But I do think, like, you know, the Vegas over-under is 8.5. I think that's a perfect number for it to be at. I think I've kind of written, like, 9-8 seems to be a fair prediction for this team, because it's a rookie quarterback. You've got some questions about both lines. You're still not, you know, you mentioned Matt Eberflus. You look at his record, it's fair to kind of have some skepticism. Shane Waldron, play caller, you know, you can look at him. It's not like he's coming in here with this giant resume of tons of successful play calling. Did great things in Seattle. I've liked what I've seen from the scheme. I think it's going to be good. But again, we have to see it to believe it. So fans are into it. There's a lot of number 18 jerseys at training camp. But I do think people understand rookie quarterback, tough division too. You know, maybe just getting into the playoffs would be successful. What you obviously don't want, like, at the end of the season, Kirk, like, what, like, if you and I talk in January,
right,
you want Bears fans to know, regardless of record, Caleb's the guy, and they're set for however long he's going to be here.
Yeah, I would say that's the opposite, maybe, that how Carolina Panthers felt. Fans felt at the end of their season, like, hey, do we have the guy? Do we not? So, yeah, I totally get that, Kevin. Kevin Fishbane joining us. He covers the Bears for The Athletic right here on the Rich Eisen Show with Kirk Morrison filling in for Rich. Kevin, had the Bears landed Matthew Judon, would it have been, the internet would have broke, because everybody would have said, how are they getting all these guys? Are they cheating? What's going on? But how, I mean, were they in on the possible acquisition of Matthew Judon? I know he goes from the Patriots to the Falcons, but there was rumors that maybe Ryan Poles was in on that deal too, trying to see if he can bring in Matthew Judon to team up with Montez Sweat.
Yeah, Kirk, I'm starting to wonder if there's a trade conversation that Ryan Poles is not in on at this point. Like, it's just, if anybody's a trade candidate, you got to assume. And look, I think that's what makes him a good GM. You know, he's always looking around trying to find ways to improve a team. The Bears, like, they have guys on the defensive, at the defensive end spot they like, but they know that they can improve it. They know that somebody like Judon would have been an upgrade and would have been a great asset for them. And the other thing too, if you look at the window the Bears have, right? You think about, all right, assuming Caleb's the guy, you're going to pay him in 3 years.
Correct.
So you've got these three seasons, because once you pay him, as you know, it's going to be harder to pay everybody else. And you've got a lot of guys. I mean, you look at last year's rookie class, Darnell Wright in a couple of years. You look at the tackle contracts, Tyreek Stevenson, if he continues to ascend, Kyler Gordon, some of these guys, they're going to be up for new contracts in a couple of years too. So you look at that window, you could understand the aggressiveness from Ryan Poles to go get a guy and say, I'm not worried about next year's third round draft pick if I can bring this guy in right now, get him for 2 or 3 years, because this is our window. Obviously, the Bears want to sustain success for as long as possible, but you got to strike while Caleb's on that rookie contract, take advantage of that rookie wage scale. So that's why it makes sense for them to have kind of been in those conversations. I was a little surprised, just because you know that there's going to be a big contract coming.
Right.
And you know, the Bears, they paid Montez Sweat the big money. They just mm-hmm. gave DJ Moore the big extension. They've given Jalen Johnson the big yeah. extension in March. So you kind of wonder how many more big deals can they do, but they do still kind of have a healthy cap situation. So look, I think that this is about Ryan Poles, Matt Eberflus. They will always say, and it is coach speak. Like, you've probably heard it 100 times, you know, we're always going to look to improve our team.
Right.
But the Bears have lived up to that too. When you look at the trades that they've made, they haven't always worked. Obviously Chase Claypool, that trade didn't work, but he's now, you know, Poles not afraid to take those swings.
Kevin, when you talk Chicago Bears, it's always about Caleb Williams, the expectations of the team, the offense. You mentioned DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, Rome Odunze. Why don't we talk about the defense? I had a buddy of mine was texting me yesterday, oh, man, the Bears, they talk about offense. I said, but there are some names on this defense. You mentioned a guy. This is a strong secondary. I don't know where they rank, but I will put them at the top when you look at the names on this defense, especially at the linebacker position as well. What have you seen from this defense during training camp without the focus so much on Caleb Williams?
Well, to use Caleb as the example, one of the things the defense has done is they've, you know, made it really difficult for Caleb Williams all yeah. summer long. And that was one of the things that was interesting in the Bills game, is you saw the offense playing at a level we have not seen in training camp because it's been so challenging. Yeah. You know, I wonder, Kirk, how many people, maybe it's more now because of Hard Knocks, how many NFL fans know who Jalen Johnson is?
Yes.
How many NFL fans know who Montez Sweat is? Mm-hmm. Like, and those are the Bears Pro Bowlers. Those yeah. are the two best players in the defense. Those are the two guys with the big contracts. They went to the Pro Bowl last year.
Yeah.
And I just don't know how widely known. And it's fair. I mean, Jalen Johnson has been on this team since 2020. They've had one playoff game that everybody forgets about, understandably so. You know, Sweat was kind of the third guy when you looked at that Washington D-line that he was a part of. And, you know, he's obviously, Sweat's not like that loud guy, so he's, you know, kind of keeps to himself a little bit. So you're not going to be seeing him on social media all the time. And then you go to that secondary that you mentioned, and it's literally, you know, in addition to Jalen Johnson, I think Kyler Gordon's one of the best nickel corners in football. And if he stays healthy, like, you should be talking about him being in that Pro Bowl category, because when at his best, he's been really good. Who knows who Kyler Gordon is outside of Chicago? Tyreek Stevenson put up big numbers in the second half of last season. Jaquan Brisker, again, needs to stay healthy, but he's somebody the Bears believe in a lot. Kevin Byers is one of the more underrated safeties in football. And you talked about the linebackers, too. And Kirk, I don't know if anybody knows this better than you,
yeah.
but people don't talk about off-ball linebackers anymore, right? Like, they don't talk about the guys like T.J. Edwards and Tremaine Edmonds, who are phenomenal and really came on strong in the second half last season. I just named all those guys. You throw in a Jervon Dexter and Andrew Billings. These are just not names that a lot of people outside Chicago know about. You put them all together and you're like, oh, wow, all these guys individually are pretty darn good. And with that scheme, you can see how, you know, they can be the ones kind of carrying this team and making things easier for the rookie quarterback.
You know, Kevin, I'll tell you, I'm a big fan of the Chicago Bears defense. And as a team, you see the potential. Like you mentioned it a little bit earlier. There is optimism because you can see this team. Now, there's a ceiling. I think that they can get to 10, 11 wins possibly, but there's also that floor where we can say, man, Caleb could fall flat this year and they win 6 or 7 games. I don't see it that way because I feel like there is just too much talent around this team. But the great thing is, I feel like the teams who are on Hard Knocks, the training camp edition, usually find a way to get over that hump. We saw it again with the Detroit Lions a couple years ago. I think the Bears are going to be that team. What are we learning from Hard Knocks that maybe people outside of the Bears organization didn't know because of the quarterback situation with Justin Fields and trying to figure out what is this franchise right now? Who are they? Because they haven't been to a conference championship game in a long time, let alone won a playoff game in a really long time.
Yeah, well, you know, you start with Eberflus, and I think he has shown how comfortable he is in front of with the Hard Knocks cameras there and being mic'd up for everything. Again, not a head coach people knew a lot about. And if you look up Matt Eberflus social media wise last September. It wasn't a really good look for him when the Bears were going through those really tough situations, and he had to kind of be the voice for the team, and it was an uncomfortable spot for everybody. And now he is confident. He's got the new look. He is comfortable in his position. I think people are kind of seeing the way that he relates to the players, the way he relates to the team, and how that might work. And you're learning about, you know, I think people are learning about who some of these guys are. I loved the Jalen Johnson versus Keenan Allen clip from last week, because, like, shoot, Keenan Allen, I mean, he should be incredibly well known, especially when you talk about fantasy football.
Right.
But when you play for the Chargers, like, it can be hard sometimes to break that, you know, break through as being considered one of the best receivers in the game. So I think seeing that Keenan Allen, Jalen Johnson matchup, I think was good for the team. Hey, Kirk, maybe fans around the league have learned that the Bears are just a clean-cut organization, because you have not had a cuss word yet on the show. And one of the biggest surprises so far from the Bears edition of Hard Knocks. So you're getting the rookies, you're starting to see some of these stories. I'll throw another one out there, because he was a big part of last week's episode. DJ Moore is a phenomenal player. Mm. I mean, the word I always think of when I watch him run routes is smooth. He just is smooth. And again, you look at that position, and you think of the kind of the quote-unquote prima donnas. You think about the guys who are always talking. That's just not DJ. And he is such a good player, means so much to that team, great work ethic. You've seen his family. So I think it's nice. That's one of the reasons the Bears were like, all right, we'll finally do Hard Knocks, because we got this team that we want to introduce to the rest of the country.
No, Kevin, I got to get you out of here. One last one, 30 seconds, because I felt like this offseason there was this divide between the Justin Fields followers in Chicago versus why are we going to go get Caleb Williams? We should keep him and keep Justin Fields and build with what we think could be a better roster around Justin Fields. Where is that divide now? Or where is those sides at now? Are Bears fans finally gravitating to Caleb Williams? Or are they still thinking about, man, we could have had Justin Fields and still a lot more money to surround him and maybe having a better talent?
Yeah, if you think of the stages of grief, they are fully in the acceptance part.
Okay.
They have accepted Caleb's the guy. I think anybody who was on that Justin Fields train, I totally understood it. He did some phenomenal things here, and you could think about the draft picks you would get and what you could build around him. I get it, but I think people have realized, like, this Caleb just, as we used the word I used earlier, he's different. And I think people are seeing that. You know, they saw the trade market for Justin Fields not materialize. You know, and I think a lot of them are rooting for Justin, and they want him to succeed. But I think they've kind of realized, all right, we've got a guy here that we might be able to finally get out of this cycle.
There it is. At K Fishbane on Twitter X. He's the NFL writer for The Athletic, covers the Chicago Bears. Kevin, man, I appreciate the time, my brother. We will talk soon, and we will have this discussion, too, at the end of the season, where we feel Caleb Williams is at currently in his career.
All right, look forward to it, Kirk. Thank you.
I appreciate it, Kevin. That's Kevin Fishbane, covers the Bears for The Athletic. There is a update on the Dak Prescott contract negotiations. Just a quick update. I guess we'll get to that when we come back right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Kirk Morrison filling in for Rich.
Let's talk about Sleep Number, people. We all know in the NFL there's no margin for error. A single mistake can change the outcome of a game. We all know that. And proven quality sleep, yeah, believe it or not, can boost reaction time, recovery time, and overall performance. You know that probably in your real life. The same thing goes in the National Football League, which is why Sleep Number is, in fact, the sleep and wellness partner of the National Football League. Partnering since 2018, 8 out of 10 players have a Sleep Number smart bed. You should, too. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70, just 10 numbers apart, but it is the world of difference, because being able to adjust your bed's firmness after working out for recovery, that is game-changing. So, right now, during Sleep Number's biggest sale of the year, you can save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed plus special financing for a limited time, only at a Sleep Number store, or you can go to sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number is the official sleep and wellness partner of the National Football League. See store for details.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwoodone.
Larry David, you are now the new commissioner of the National Football
League. Really?
Yes, congratulations.
Are you kidding?
There you go. Congratulations.
This is a dream, okay? I quit Curb Your Enthusiasm in a second if this is true.
Okay.
Okay.
What do you do first as the commissioner of the National Football League, Larry David?
Number one, and I really don't care if people like it or not, I'm losing the goalpost.
What?
Why are there goalposts?
Okay.
Why are kickers, okay, who have, they don't have football skills. They're not football players. I'm sure they're wonderful people, but they're not football players. Why are they kicking a ball through goalposts to decide games? It doesn't make any sense at all. First of all, goalposts are a relic from the old English rugby, I think.
Okay.
You know, when they used to actually run and kick a ball through goalposts. Mm-hmm. But they don't do that in the NFL. There's no need for goalposts. What? Wouldn't the game be better without them? Think about it. Why not just have leaping frogs to decide games? See if a frog can leap through a little goalpost that you set up, okay, on the floor. And if the frog can leap through the goalpost, then do that. What? Why kick it through a goalpost?
Well, it's not called leaping frog ball. It's called football. Yes, so you're saying take the feet out of footballs? Is that what you're saying, Larry? Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Why? Feet are deciding games and they shouldn't. Why should one player with this skill, like the guy on the Ravens,
Justin Tucker, yeah.
Why should this one player who does nothing but kick a ball be deciding games when you have 52 other players who are actually playing and this one person, this 53rd person, is deciding games? It makes no sense whatsoever.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, Kirk Morrison filling in for Rich on this Friday as we get ready for our preseason weekend number two. We got the FedEx Cup going on right now. Somebody said Scottie Scheffler is a little upset, so I'll get caught up on that too in the next couple minutes. But the big update is Dak Prescott. He spoke to the media a little bit yesterday and kind of gave us a update on sort of what's going on between he and the Cowboys in the contract situation.
I'm blessed to be able to do that, to have a family, girlfriend that takes care of the home, takes care of the business that we need, people in place that takes care of the contract, those talks, those negotiations, and that allowed me to, when I'm here, when I'm in the camp hours, I'm as focused can be on whatever it needs, whether it's the team, the locker room, maybe it's something the coaches need, or it's just me out there on the field trying to become the player that I want to be and continuing to grow and getting better. That I think that's what allows it to be easy for me, is I have such good people around me. Good conversations are going, I will say that. Call it negotiations, whatever, conversations. A lot of good things are going on there. So a lot of confidence. Once again, I said anytime I feel like I've talked about it, I've got confidence in my guys, these guys, getting something done. Yeah.
The longest tenured quarterback with one team currently in the NFL, Dak Prescott.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This will be his ninth year as the starting quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys. No other quarterback in the NFL has been with one team currently for 9 years, by the way. Yes.
So 2016 was his first year?
2016. I was at the game, by the way.
When Romo got hurt?
Well, not when Romo got hurt. We were just having this blast from the past. Yeah. You know, obviously, I do the Rams pregame, halftime, and postgame. And I was thinking about it last week because this is my ninth year. And the first home game was a preseason game, but it was Dak's first start at quarterback. Remember, it was preseason week number 2 or 3 at the time. Remember, Romo got hurt. Then Kellen Moore got hurt and had an ankle injury at practice.
Oh, wow.
And then they just threw Dak out there, the fourth round pick, like, hey, whatever. And he played well in the preseason, and the rest is history. I mean, that was 2016. So 9 years in the NFL.
Wow.
Think about it.
There was
with
a game
one
against
team.
The Rams in particular. I remember he came on a preseason game, and
that was it.
Oh,
that was the one.
Yeah.
At the LA Coliseum, by the way.
That was the one. That was the first game back.
That was the first game back in LA.
People.
It was amazing.
Like, you were there. Right?
Isn't it the game you and I went to?
Nah, I didn't go to that.
It was amazing. I did the pregame show outside in the pavilion. So we have, at the end of the pregame show, you have about 10 minutes to get to the press box. So get done with the show, put my headsets down. I'm walking from outside where the arc of the LA Coliseum, the open-ended side.
Yeah.
So that's where the pregame show was. So I'm leaving from there to walk to the press box. There was this big, huge roar before I got there. The opening kickoff was returned for a touchdown. Like the opening kickoff of football back in LA, returned for a touchdown. And then Dak Prescott takes over at the quarterback position, his first start, and then the rest is history. Nine seasons later, going into his ninth year, I should say, he is the longest tenured quarterback in the NFL.
Crazy.
And you think about it, he's been stable. He's been to a point that has given you enough to where I feel like he is your quarterback moving forward. This will be his last contract as a quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys. I think that this is the one. Get it done and move on. I don't know what the holdup is. Is it because they're waiting for CeeDee Lamb to sign? Is it trying to see if we can keep a little bit extra for Micah Parsons? I don't know what the case is. He says he's got his people working on it, and I get it. But this is a huge distraction for the Dallas Cowboys. If I'm a quarterback knowing that at the end of this year, I'm going to be a free agent, like that's – you start looking over your shoulder a little bit, fellas. Like, we've seen there's moments where something may happen in a game similar to, remember, Lamar Jackson. Remember the knee injury? Oh, Lamar not playing because he doesn't have a contract. I don't want to hear that all year long. Why didn't Dak dive on that fumble? Wait, you know what? Why isn't Dak giving it his all? Why did he step out of bounds instead of lowering the shoulder to get one extra yard for a first down? That is upcoming if they don't get a contract deal done. And I always say, what's the better option next year? Like, the Cowboys are a really good football team. They're not going to be 4 wins, 5 wins, picking at the top of the draft. They're not. So what's the better option at quarterback? I feel like Dak Prescott is a free agent. I would want that. I think that he's capable of getting you where you need to go. Just the expectations put on the Cowboys obviously are a lot different. But we'll see what happens. He's got his people working. We'll see what happens in the coming days as we get closer. 3 weeks from today, we got a Friday game for the NFL.
Woo.
Less than 2.5 weeks, we got our first game. But we got a lot. But I got coming up next, Clyde Drexler. Can't wait to talk to him coming up right here on the Rich Eisen Show.
This Rams Cowboys preseason game. I'm just looking at the box.
Did you look
score
at the box score?
I'm at the
it's
box
amazing.
Score. Do you know who ran back the kickoff? Do you know the guy's name?
Don't tell me.
Remember him?
Yeah, I remember the name. He was a. Give me a hint.
It's a very fun name.
Yeah, it was a fun name. I forget. It was like
he's got
Dexter.
He's got the same name as the Patriots mascot. I mean, the Celtics mascot.
Oh, my God. It was like McSorley. What is it?
Lucky Whitehead.
Lucky Whitehead. There it is. It was a different name.
Lucky
yes.
Whitehead. Dez Bryant caught a touchdown, TJ.
It was crazy.
The Cowboys were up 24-7 and lost. Dak was 10 of 12 for 139 yards.
And he was named the starter
and
right
touchdowns.
There. Yeah. That was the game.
I remember that game.
That was the game in which Jerry Jones and the Cowboys were like, that was it. Because that was where Romo could just see his CB. Yep. I think what McManus and everybody started calling Romo then.
Like,
they were like, hey, Tony, we may have a job for you over here on the TV side of things. Because
he auditioned immediately.
I mean, Dak Prescott that day looked like he belonged. He looked like the starter.
No Romo, and, no Zeke, no Witten.
Like, let's just be real.
But didn't, and then Romo got hurt the next week, right?
Yeah,
I wouldn't say he was hurt before.
I think he was hurt before he hurt.
No,
the
he
back.
Got hurt in the back against Seattle.
Seattle. When was the Seattle game?
But wasn't that?
I thought that was like the first preseason game.
This was the first preseason game, August 13th.
Okay, there it is. Dak Prescott put it all on display.
Crazy.
9 years later, guess what? He's still there, man.
We're all
love
in.
It. Clyde, love it.
Former Navy SEAL Sean Ryan shares real stories from real people from all walks of life on The Sean Ryan Show.
Tucker Carlson, what is it that you think that people gravitate
I'm not
towards?
Self-aware. I refuse to be self-aware. I don't even look in mirrors at all, which you can probably tell from my appearance. I don't have a crazy high IQ, or I really don't have that many skills. I would say my main skill is I believe my instincts. I don't hesitate to follow my instincts, ever. The extent that I have gotten in trouble.
The Sean Ryan Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.